reading. Thank you for the admonition, the encouragement. You know, as a young pastor, the Lord has taught me a lot of things. One verse that I would like to, just before my message, would like to bring. That is, I don't care how faithful, how extensive the pastor becomes, how great he might become in the eyes of men, how wise he is with his flock, how he can guide the church of God. There's one scripture that always hits home to me. Luke 17:10. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded of you, say, we are unprofitable servants.
Amen.
We have done that which was our duty to do. We have nothing to glory.
That's right.
Amen.
Nothing but the precious blood of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
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 I thank you, Brother Titus, for in this church, the opportunity of preaching God's word. Thank God for this church. The stand that she takes on the truths of God's word. The encouragement her pastor is to us as a pastor. And I thank God for each of the men and the women, boys and girls that have come out to worship the Lord. We want to take our Bibles. Also, I want to say that thank the women for all the hard work that they've done in preparing all the great food. Let's turn in our Bibles to Matthew, the 28th chapter, and reading verse 20. Matthew, the 28th chapter, and reading verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Teach the all things. Teach the all things. Wednesday evenings in our church, Pathway Baptist Church, we have been going through the Ten Commandments. The third verse of chapter 20 says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. You know, I believe that the Ten Commandments which God gave Moses are included in these all things. Not as a way of salvation, but because of our duty and our love for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What does the word command mean? What does the word command mean? Well, I like to go to Webster's Dictionary occasionally and find out what it says about a word. The word command means to direct authoritatively, to order, to exercise a dominating influence over. As it is used as a noun, the act of commanding, an order given, the ability to control, the position of highest authority. Kind of God do we serve today? The God that we serve today, I believe, is the only potentate
with all power.
Amen, brother.
For who hath resisted his will?
Amen.
For who replies against God? What if God willing to show his wrath? Huh? What if God willing to show his wrath today? I love that chapter, Romans, but oh, there's much more than that. Much more than that. Psalm 95 and 3 says, "For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods." Little g. Yes, there's only one true and living God. Oh, there's many gods in the world today, but there's only one true and living God. Oh, there's only one potentate or all-powerful God. Yes, I thank God that He is the one who reached out in mercy and saved my wretched soul.
Amen.
Oh, I'm thankful that He's put me in His church.
Amen.
He's given me a song to sing.
Amen.
Joy in my heart.
Amen.
Fellowship in His church is wonderful. Oh, we can go on. We see the only God who has the right, the only God who has the authority, the power to do according to His will, can make statements such as, "My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." Only that God is able to do that.
Amen.
Only that God. Oh, that we see Isaiah 46 and 5 very clearly makes a statement, "To whom will ye liken me and make me equal and compare me that we may be like?" Isaiah 46 and 5. Who can we compare our God and our Father to? No one, my friends. No one. He's above all. You know, it kind of turns my stomach on the trip up here as I drive by this one big picture along the side of the road, and the quote Baptist church has got it put up there. Big old picture of some, I call him feminist hippie. He's not my Lord. He's not my Lord. No, you're not going to compare anything to my Lord. No, He's greater than that.
Amen.
He's greater than that. Our God is great. Great is our Lord and of great power. The God who engrafted in stone for an everlasting and unquenchable law, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Oh, let's take a look over in the book of Isaiah for a moment. Isaiah the 40th chapter. Isaiah the 40th chapter. Oh, I serve a big God. I serve a big God.
Amen.
His name starts with a capital G.
Amen.
He's big God. How big is your God? Well, we read in verse 12, speaking about our God here, "Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of His hand, and meted out heaven with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance." That's big God.
Amen.
I serve a big God.
Amen.
"Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being His counselor hath taught Him?" No, nobody. Nobody. He's from everlasting to everlasting.
Amen.
No one teach my God anything.
Amen.
He knows it all. He's the ruler of it all.
Amen.
He's telling us what we ought to do.
Amen.
That we have one God before us. No other gods are acceptable. No other gods are acceptable.
Amen.
Yes, and we read verse 14, and it says, "With whom took He counsel?" What a laugh. Today, people are counseling with God. You know that?
Yeah.
People are counseling with God today. But we don't counsel with Him. He deals with us.
Amen.
He deals with us.
Amen.
With whom took he counsel? And who instructed him? Oh boy. Some of these Armenians need to learn these things here. And taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding. Verse 15, behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust on the balance.
Amen.
Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. We look at verse 18. To whom will ye liken God? Or what likeness will ye compare unto him? You got pictures of so-called Jesus hanging on the wall. You ought to tear them down and burn them.
Amen.
Amen, brother.
Who you going to liken your God to? Verse 22 says, it is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers. And that stretches out the heavens of the curtain and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. Oh, that bringeth the princes to nothing and maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Nothingness, see? Oh, my God is great. Verse 25, to whom will you liken me? Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Verse 26, lift up your eyes. That's where you can find him. You lift up your eyes unto the God of the universe.
Amen.
Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things that bring them out their host by number? He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Oh, I love my God. I love the one who reached down in mercy and saved my soul. Oh, the God, I believe, who gave the Ten Commandments. Oh, there's many other commands in God's Word, but I speak about the Ten Commandments because I'm talking about verse 1, first commandment. The God who gave these Ten Commandments has the power. We've read about His power already, but He still has the power to enforce those if He so desired to.
Amen.
Isn't that right?
Amen.
He has that power to do that. He can enforce them to whomever He will.
Amen.
He will. I believe that the lost man is under the condemnation of that law. He needs to look at that law and say, yes, I have sinned against God. Yes. My wife and I were talking on the way up here. She was reading an article and she says, listen to this. It says here that, as you know, the verse that talks about the Word of God being as a mirror, the law being a mirror to us, and we look into that mirror, we don't wash our face with the mirror. No, we wash our face with the water.
Amen.
With the Word of God.
Amen.
You put this thing in your heart and in your mind, you're going to forsake your ungodliness.
Amen.
You're going to go in the way of God.
Amen.
Yes, you will. We look at Exodus, this 20th chapter, verse 2. God here is reminding Israel of their own experience, their past sufferings, and their helplessness under the great bondage of the Egyptians. God shows them how they have come to their present situation. See, they were out there in the wilderness, see, wandering around. And God showed them the situation of freedom that they had and reminds them who brought them out of that bondage. And this is why they owed the Lord their attention and their obedience. Let's put a personal application to this now. Those of us that have been saved by God's marvelous grace, we owe our attention, undivided attention, and our obedience to God. Not to be saved, but because of His mercy and grace extended to us. Oh, I tell you, it's wonderful to see these things in God's Word. Egypt pictures the world and sin. It is a sad thing today to find that people, God's people, are longing for the world. That's true. A lot of times they're going out and going into the old life and the world's attractions. Well, what do we expect when we can sit down and watch things that we can watch in our own homes? Partake of things behind closed doors and not be seen of men. I'll tell you, today we need not to be enslaved by the world and the things that are in the world. The Bible tells us about these things. But you know, the world sure makes it look attractive, doesn't it? The world makes it look real attractive. And you know, it does pay off. It does pay off, but it's very short-lived. Very short-lived. That sin that you delve into is very short-lived, the pleasure that comes from it, see? But I'll tell you, pay off in the long run. Long run, you're going to bear the reproach. You're going to reap what you sow, as one brother has said. Oh, yes. We turn over to Matthew, the sixth chapter. Matthew, the sixth chapter. And reading verses 19 through 25. Matthew, the sixth chapter. And reading verses 19 through 24. I tell you, this steps on my toes all the time because I feel that possibly I am doing some of these things consistently that I ought not to be doing. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. I tell you, that hits every one of us.
Amen.
Every one of us. Lay not up for yourselves treasure upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt.
Uh-huh.
That's very typical of Detroit area. You see those cars just completely covered. I mean, people spend hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars on automobiles. I did it too. I'm not excluded from this. And they just rust and fall apart. Pathetic. Where thieves do break... Excuse me, verse 20 again. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thy eye be evil, the whole body be full of darkness. If therefore the light is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man, you or I, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, this is God's word, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. You can't do it. You're going to fail every time. God's going to get a hold of you. We can't serve two masters. We can't love God and the world. John 16 says, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." 1 John 2:5 says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Oh, how close are we getting to the world? How are we staying away and out of the pleasures of the whole world? Acts 5:29 says, as has been spoke this morning, we ought to obey God rather than man.
Amen.
We ought to obey God rather than man. I guess this is one of my sugar sticks, but I just love this verse. I turn over to Philippians, the fourth chapter. You want to keep yourself unspotted from the world? You want to keep yourself clean? Well, if you go by these rules, you'll do that. Philippians, the fourth chapter, verse 8. Finally, my brethren,
whatsoever things are true. Now, as we think about this, think about what you watch on television, okay? I mean, really, take it home to heart. Just think about these things. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, hardly any of it's true, whatsoever things are honest, okay? Whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, oh boy, whatsoever things are lovely, oh, it might look lovely, but it's sin. It might look lovely, but it's sin. Whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise. Think on these things. Amen. You want to be in good relationship with the Father? Yeah. Huh? Think on the things of God's Word.
Amen, bro.
Think on the things that are spiritual. Amen. Think on the things that are righteous and holy and good and true.
Amen.
We'll have a righteous church. There's nothing wrong with righteousness, see? Nothing at all. No, I preach this in my church. Oh, then we look at the verse. Exodus 20 and verse 3. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Oh, boy. That thing hits me hard. It's quite a proclamation, isn't it? Think about it. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. In every area of our life, we need to examine. Are there other gods that cause us to forsake our service to the living and true God? Are there? Are there things in your life, things in my life, that are drawing us away from our service, unattended service to God? Giving our all and all to Him. I'll tell you, we need to think about these things. This verse, I believe, is saying that we can't have any object to hinder our worship of the true God. We must come to the place to realize that there is no authority higher than God. Oh, think of that chapter in Isaiah the 40th. Think about it! Whom will you liken me, huh? Whom will ye liken me? You know, sometimes we get our toes stepped on when we hear the Word of God preached, when we study it to preach it. But friends, I don't care what it is that hinders you, what hinders me of our worship or from our worship, from the One who is holy. But we must, you and I must, place everything else second to God in our worship to Him. Amen. Thou shalt have no other gods before me.
Amen.
That means just what it says. No other gods before me. It may be money or the job that provides that money. Yes, that hits hard. It's my church members. Yes, it does. It may be pleasure or sports. Yes, I've got some. Oh, Brother Kendall, he loves that football. He loves that football. I don't think he puts the head of the servant of the Lord.
Amen.
I thank God for the elder he's put in my church. I thank God for Brother Kendall.
Amen.
He's taught me many things. I thank God for all my members.
Amen.
Yes, it might be pleasure. It might be sports. Well, I'll tell you, if it comes between you and being in the Lord's house, it's a god to you. It's a god to you. You ought to get rid of that god. That job taking you away from the house of the Lord. You ought to reschedule it if you can. I know this day in which we live, it's hard.
I know that. I work on a job. I fight those kind of things too. But I'll tell you what. We must not put anything before God.
Amen. Amen.
Thou shalt have no other gods before me. No other gods. Oh yes, it may even be your family and friends. I can't come to church because Aunt Bertha's coming tonight. She's become a god to you if she takes you away from the Lord's house.
That's right, brother. Amen.
She's become a god to you. Oh, the family picnic. It can become a god to you. One of those traditional things. Yes, I know what I'm talking about. I tell you, I miss them. I miss them. Oh, we go on. It might be some tradition. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. That God may be a tradition that you might have. What does God say about traditions? Well, it says quite a bit. Let's turn over to Matthew, the 15th chapter, and just see what God's Word says about traditions. Matthew 15. Matthew 15. And reading verses 3, verses 8 and 9. But he answered and said unto them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? Verses 8 and 9. This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth. Yeah, with their mouth they draw nigh unto God. And they honor him with their lips. But their heart is far from him. How many of you know people that worship three or four times a year? That's what he's talking about, I believe. They draw nigh unto God once or two, twice, maybe three times a year. They talk about Him. They worship Him as a baby. Oh, yes, they do. I don't worship Him as a baby. He's my living Savior. He's sitting on the right hand of the throne in heaven on high making intercession for me. Yes, but in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. If the traditions of this old world and of Satan take you away from the Lord's house, away from your worship to Him, it's a god to you. It's a god to you. Yes, we're told to forsake those things. Mark 7. Mark the 7th chapter. Reading verses 6 through 9. Mark 7, verses 6 through 9 says, and he answered and said unto them, Mark 7, verses 6 through 9. And he answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Bible says that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. Place it where you want to. It can fit in many places. That which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. And I believe he's talking about religious activities. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Yes, 1 Peter 1. Got kind of quiet. 1 Peter 1, verses 18 through 25. You want to know how you ought to worship? But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish, without spot. This is my Savior. This is the one we're to worship. One we're to adore, to magnify, to edify. Oh, God help us. But with the precious blood of Christ, let me read verse 18 and go together a little better. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by what? Tradition of your fathers. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Oh, I tell you. Then we see verse 22 through 25, seeing ye have purified your souls. How are you going to purify your souls? Through the Word of God, the preaching God's Word, the Holy Spirit directing and leading you into all things. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned or not faked love of the brethren. I've seen faked love before. Somebody walk up behind you and put their arm around you, pat you on the back, and stab you on the other side. I've seen it happen. Amen. I've seen it in Seattle happen. All kissy-kissy, lovey-lovey stuff, you know. And they don't mean a thing about it. Faked love. This isn't the kind of love this is talking about, brethren. No, it's talking about love. It's hard to understand why we have that love. It's hard to know why God takes a depraved, undesirable sinner, makes one that we can love. I don't understand that. God does it. He did it out of me. He made me lovable. I hope I am. I hope I am. Yes. Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart. That word next is great. Fervently. Fervently love one another. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Verse 25 says, but the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. I believe that the first commandment that God gives is a commandment that was meant to regulate our affections and our thoughts and to establish God's authority over us in all areas of our lives. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. The book of Hosea is very powerful in this. They said, go up and tear down those groves, those altars, tear them down and utterly destroy them. We see that throughout the Scriptures.
Yes.
My friends, we must put out all things that would hinder our service to God.
Amen.
Worship the true and
Amen.
Living God. Oh, we need to worship Him who is worthy of our worship. Yes, we think about Eve, how sin had entered into her thoughts. She began to question God's right to impose rules over her. She began to question the value of submitting to His restrictions, did she not? She made a decision, didn't she? Eve believed Satan's claim that she'd be wiser. She disobeyed the command of God. She thought that she would have honor. And what happened? She fell. Adam and Eve both. I'll tell you, it's better to obey than to sacrifice. It's better to obey than to sacrifice. God says, once again, that we're not to have any gods before Him. We need to be always thinking, and we need to always be praying and desiring righteousness. An idol is another god. Anything which controls our life away from the Word of God and our service to Him has become an idol or god to us. If there is a practice or habit, a family or religious tradition that is not scriptural, that cannot be rejected, it has become another god to us. Any time that we decide not to obey a command of God because of what worldly friends and family might say, I believe that you and I are in direct defiance of the commandment of the Lord. We are. Oh, it's a shame that we do. But we do. It's a shame, but we do. Oh, God, have mercy on us. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. In closing, a couple of scriptures that I want to bring. Proverbs 4 and 23 says, keep or guard thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. For out of it are the issues of life. 1 Peter 3:15 says, but sanctify or set apart, provide a place for the Lord God in your hearts. Amen. Amen. Yes, that's where we need to have Him.
Amen.
Oh, acknowledge His lordship, His power, His dominion over you. You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. You've been bought with a price. Proverbs 23:7 says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So is he. How are we to think? Well, the Bible says the thoughts of a righteous man is right. The thoughts of the righteous are right. Proverbs 12:5. Romans 10:10 says, I love the Word of God. That's why I read so much of it. Romans 10 says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, unto righteousness. A new heart will produce in you and produce in me a conformity to the image of His dear Son.
Amen.
You will want to walk in His steps.
Amen.
You will desire to walk in His steps.
Amen.
Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, everything becomes new. You start walking a new life. Desirous of new things. You turn your back on sin. Yes, we do. One more verse. 2 Corinthians 10:5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing. Oh boy. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Oh, this is a rough one. And bringing into captivity every thought. To what? To the obedience of Christ.
Amen.
The obedience of Christ. May the Lord bless you.
Amen.